Pauline Landrigan, an English teacher with VLACs, is touching base with one of her students, Siri Kondike.
All right, you going to be together with family in a couple of days?
I'm actually going to be working most of the week.
Oh, that's course.
Kondike is connecting to this appointment from her job in retail, surrounded by shelves full of folded designer jeans.
It's super flexible. I love it. As you can see, I'm having a call in the Hollister back room of the mall, which is kind of amazing to me.
So here's the question. How much learning can you do from the back room of a Hollister? Here's founder and CEO of VLACs, Steve Kosakowski.
Every single year, our test scores have been at or above the state averages in math and English language arts and so forth.
This is true, but there's a caveat. The vast majority of VLAC students, around 12,000 of them, are part-timers who aren't accounted for in these standardized tests. Only a few dozen full-time students represent the school in the statewide test called the NECAP. This means there's the chance that there's what's called a selection bias. Are more of those full-timers super motivated, wanting to learn at all costs type students? Kosakowski responds that 88% of all VLACs enrollees complete their courses with passing grades, and they're all held to the same standard as the ones who are taking the NECAP.
Since we're doing the same thing with our full-time students that we're doing with our part-time students, that we believe that can generalize to the rest of the population.
There are other data as well. His students outperform their peers in AP tests and in courses they take to get college credits. So while there's no standardized testing data that encompasses all of the part-time students, the data we do have suggests that at least some of them are doing quite well. And all of this comes with a smaller price tag. The school is entirely funded by the state's adequacy payment, slightly more than $5,000 per student. That's less than half of the state average. And unlike public schools, VLACs only gets that money when their kids learn their competencies, which is to say, pass their unit exams.
So in a traditional setting, a student is in a seat for 180 or some odd days, and that student qualifies for full funding. For us, if a student is in that seat for 180 days and meets 50% of the competencies, we're going to get 50% of the funding.
This, for some, raises a red flag. If a school is getting paid based on how many students pass, isn't the natural incentive to ensure that more students pass?
Well, that's rife with problems.
Sam Abrams is a professor at Teachers College at Columbia University who studies online K-12 schools.
Because it gives the virtual school administrators the incentive to lower the bar.
But others, like Michael Griffith with the Education Commission for the States, actually recommend using VLAX's funding formula. That's because at many online schools, the problem is not that they let too many kids pass.
A lot of virtual charter schools have a high dropout rate.
He says if we're worried that funding based on passing grades will lead to setting up diploma mills, the same can be said of traditional schools. They have been under tons of pressure to reduce their dropout rates.
And to be honest, you could set up a diploma mill type system in a brick-and-mortar school if you wanted to, but those tend to be monitored by the school district, and they want to hold them to certain standards. You just need to make sure you're doing the same thing with virtual charters.
As for those standards, in 2012, the State Department of Education reviewed VLAX's practices and renewed its charter. The renewal came with a series of glowing commendations. And outside experts, when they hear how VLACs works, tend to be impressed. Michael Barber is a professor at Sacred Heart University and studies best practices in K-12 online ed.
All of the things that they're doing are meeting with what we know from the research, and in all honesty, are fairly consistent with the kinds of things that you see classroom teachers wanting to do if they had the time.
Taking online classes at VLACs doesn't just mean reading and filling out multiple choice bubbles. Students do all sorts of different assignments, oral quizzes, and have regular check-ins with their teachers. Like Pauline Landrigan, talking to Siri Kondike on her break at Hollister.
Now, do you have any questions about that narrative that you're about to submit for your final?
I think I resubmitted the edited version already.
Okay, so I just haven't gotten to it. So what do you like
VLACs
most about
aims to keep expanding this model to more students. There are a bevy of initiatives that Kosakowski says will be rolled out in the coming months and years. A marriage of online classes and experiential learning, adult education for folks looking to get their GED, and a partnership with Southern New Hampshire University so high school students can get cheap college credits. It's an ambitious agenda, but in light of what they've already built in just a few years, VLACs may not be an organization you want to bet against. For NHBR News, I'm Sam Evans-Brown.